The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, word went round that he was back, and so many people collected that there was no room left even in front of the door. He was preaching the word to them when some people came bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. But as the crowds made it impossible to get the man to him, they stripped the roof over the place where Jesus was. And when they had made an opening, they lowered the stretcher on which the paralytic lay. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now some scribes were sitting there, and they thought to themselves, "How can this man talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God?" Jesus, inwardly aware that this was what they were thinking, said to them, "Why do you have these thoughts in your hearts? Which of these is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your stretcher and walk'? But to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I order you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go off home." And the man got up, picked up his stretcher at once, and walked out in front of everyone, so that they were all astounded and praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. As you know, as Lent approaches, there's always that time for giving things up. That's our last Sunday, Alleluias. Only two more days, and then no more till the Easter Vigil. The last of the Glorias that we sing on a Sunday till Easter. And always on this Sunday, we give up a homily, and the bishop always sends a pastoral letter that says at the bottom, "To be read at all services, masses today." My dear brothers and sisters, last autumn, Pope Benedict gave a universal invitation to the church to embark with him on a year of faith, starting on the 11th of October, which is the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Second Vatican Council, and ending with the Feast of Christ the King in 2013. All these dates seem a long way ahead, but if we are to respond to this invitation, we need to begin thinking now about what it means and not put it off until October. May I make a suggestion immediately? Perhaps our Lenten discipline should focus on issues of faith this year. This does not mean that we lose interest in how we live our lives. That is a permanent part of any Lenten agenda. As we say, actions speak louder than words. And if we live life, if how we live is unworthy of a disciple of Christ, we need to take remedial action and also examine the thinking behind such a life. As in each Lent, I can strongly recommend two exercises. The first is organizing a daily exercise of examination of life, to identify what is going on daily in the way we live, and to give thanks for what is good, and to ask forgiveness and to correct what is not good. In this context, a thoughtful and well-prepared celebration of the sacrament of reconciliation is a must. No Lent is really observed without that. Now, when I say that this year we should focus on issues of faith, I'm encouraging all of us to reflect on what we believe and how authentically we believe it and live it. I'm trying to focus our attention on what and how we think and how authentically Christian it is, that is, how worthy of a disciple of Christ. To give you an example, often we start our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, how did we come to an acceptance of a God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Where did this come from? Who handed it down to us? And how do you allow it to shape the way that we live? If we fix our attention on issues of faith, we will have to focus on the church as the community which made available to us the faith and thinking that comes from Christ and the sort of life that this faith involves. We are also influenced by other ideas that can be quite often foreign to the truth that comes from Christ. For example, we are regularly told that our greatest glory is our autonomy. Yet what we learn from Christ and his church is that we are not totally autonomous, but individuals in relationship. And those relationships are our boundaries and the guarantees of our autonomy and dignity. Being made in the image and likeness of God means that we reflect something of God, three in one, in the way we are and in what we do. Is our life and thinking conducive to building community? May I suggest then that we plan our Lenten discipline around the issues of faith that give substance to and shape our most important relationships. Christ came to bring us to the obedience of faith, which will always be a permanent challenge to that inflated individual autonomy that is so vaunted by our contemporary culture. Our reading today tells us about the new thing only God can do for us, namely the forgiveness of sin. Perhaps our focus on faith will lead us to appreciate again the God who forgives and thus enables us to live again in community with our brothers and sisters. We have much to ponder about what we believe and how it shapes the way we live. It is Lent on Wednesday. May we get busy about the way we are going to use this precious time of renewal made available to us each year. May God bless you all during this forthcoming Lent. Signed, Christopher, Bishop of Plymouth. In a way, that picking up the faith, of course, has been so much in the news recently with that lawyer saying that, you know, the prayers before meetings and councils was out, and then Eric Pickles says, no, it's not, it's back in again. The Queen, of course, in Lambeth Palace on Thursday or Friday, I think it was Thursday, spoke very much about the importance of faith and how it shapes life. And Baroness Worsley, of course, is the first Muslim peer in the House of Lords, was in the Vatican this week, speaking there about the importance of faith. So there's, in a way, it's going to be a relevant issue, as we know, not just now, but ongoing. And it's just how we begin that. But just sometimes some of the things we've arranged for Lent and what will be going on later in the year will help us to focus on faith, where it comes from, what we believe, and why.